Hi there, I'm Alex Bice, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure Magazine.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, also Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
Last week was Veterans Day, and for some who were members of the armed service, that means reflecting back on their service as well as the potential cause of their cancer. For both print and web first features, Cure spoke with veterans about their cancer journeys, including one Iraq veteran whose cancer was likely caused by exposure during his deployment.
And regarding new drug indications last week, FDA seems to be working in the gastrointestinal space. We saw a new drug approved for certain patients with colorectal cancer, and another indication in the gastric cancer space was slightly changed from the way that it was originally approved a few years ago. Finally, it's open enrollment period for people who are eligible for Medicare. We heard from an expert at City of Hope about why patients with cancer should do their own research before choosing a plan.
So last year, President Biden signed the bipartisan Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson Honoring Our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics, which is known as the PACT Act, into law, with the White House calling it the most significant expansion of benefits and services for toxic exposed veterans in more than 30 years. 1 year later, more than 4.1 million veterans have received free toxic exposure screenings through the VA, with the government processing nearly 500,000 PACT Act claims and delivering more than $1.85 billion in PACT Act-related benefits to veterans and survivors, including $215 million in benefits to veterans with cancer. And under the PACT Act, for example, all gastrointestinal cancers are considered toxic exposure presumptive conditions, which means veterans don't have to prove that the cancer started during or worsened because of their military service for these veterans from the Gulf War and post-9/11 eras. And that includes Dan Nevins, a U.S. Army Reserve veteran and stage 3 colon cancer survivor who served in Iraq and who spoke with me recently. Dan is a bilateral below-knee amputee living with a traumatic brain injury as a result of his service, and he received his cancer diagnosis in late 2021. Dan spoke with me about his experience being exposed to burn pits in Iraq.
I can look back to my time in service and go, well, yeah, I just remember driving through these thick clouds of burn pit, you know, almost every day en route, like when we were headed out to do missions. So when you're in that moment and you're driving through this disgusting cloud of filth, and you know, like, you're like, this can't be good, right? You know, as you're driving through, you're like, this can't be good. It's burning your lungs. It's your mouth. You're covering your face. And still, like, some of us, sometimes we even put our gas masks on, just to get through that one, you know, one little area. But in that moment when, you know, you might actually get shot at or blown up, that becomes something you just never really think about again. And now here you are 2 decades later, here I am 2 decades later. And then that it started to crystallize for me. It's like, well, yeah, I think it makes a little bit of sense now.
And for anyone who isn't aware, what is a burn pit?
Oh, so a burn pit is the way they destroy waste. You know, when they don't have lack of infrastructure to handle waste situations. And it's everything from trash to medical waste to chemical waste. They just put it all in a burn pit, pour kerosene over it, and just keep stirring it until it just disintegrates down into nothing. And you'll see these just clouds of black smoke or gray smoke. It depends on what they're burning, what color the smoke is, but you'll see and experience some of the most foul smells that you can imagine.
So, Alex, it's interesting that you mentioned that it was President Joe Biden who signed the PACT Act into law last year, because that reminded me of an article I worked on way back in 2018. So for those of you who don't know, Joe Biden's son, Beau Biden, actually died of glioblastoma, which is a type of brain cancer. And back in 2018, we covered the fact that Joe Biden said that perhaps it was his exposure to burn pits back when Beau was in the military that could have caused his diagnosis. So it's really interesting. We know that this is, you know, probably very meaningful legislation for President Biden. So it's kind of interesting now to see that come full circle.
Absolutely. The fact that he was talking about this, and now veterans are getting care, they're getting screened, benefits are being paid out. We are watching, you know, history happen, and we are watching things take place in real time, and we here at Cure are reporting on it every step of the way, because that's what we do. Last week, there also came another FDA approval in the oncology space, Fruzaqla for patients with metastatic colorectal cancer that had been previously treated with certain chemotherapy drugs, anti-VEGF therapies, and if the patient has a RAS wild-type disease and it's medically appropriate, and anti-EGFR therapy. Now, this approval was announced Wednesday night, and it was based on findings from two clinical trials, Fresco and Fresco 2, which both showed that this drug improved overall survival time, which is the time from treatment until death from any cause, compared to treatment with placebo in this patient population. Now, of note, Fruzaqla is an oral drug that's not a chemotherapy agent, which may help patients avoid an abundance of clinics for treatment, as well as some of the side effects associated with chemotherapy, though we should note that this, like all drugs, does have its own set of potential side effects.
Also on the FDA front, the agency announced on Thursday that it was revising an approval indication of Keytruda plus Enhertu and certain chemotherapy agents for the frontline treatment of locally advanced unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive gastric or gastroesophageal junction adenocarcinoma. So this regimen was originally approved back in May 2021 and was for patients regardless of their cancer's PD-L1 status. PD-L1 is a protein that's found on the surface of tumor cells, and it acts kind of like a cloak of invisibility from the immune system. That's the way that a doctor explained it to me a few years ago, and it just stuck. Checkpoint inhibitor drugs like Keytruda inhibit the function of PD-L1, thereby allowing the immune system to find and fight the cancer. So Keytruda essentially takes off that cloak of invisibility. With the amended approval now, the FDA is now stating that this Keytruda regimen should only be used in patients whose cancer have that PD-L1 protein as determined by a companion diagnostic test. The change came after follow-up data from the KEYNOTE-811 trial, which were presented at the European Society for Medical Oncology Congress a couple weeks ago. The findings showed that while the Keytruda-containing regimen improved outcomes over placebo plus Enhertu and chemo, the benefit was particularly better for those whose disease was PD-L1 positive. The Medicare open enrollment period has officially begun and it will run until December 7th. In a Cure exclusive article penned by Dr. Harlan Levine of the City of Hope, a popular type of Medicare, Medicare Advantage, is outlined, along with its potentials, pros, and cons when facing a cancer diagnosis. For example, Dr. Levine explained that while Medicare Advantage tends to be a more affordable option, it may not cover research medical centers that provide patients with cancer access to advanced treatments and clinical trials. Dr. Levine and others are advocating for Medicare Advantage to cover treatment at comprehensive cancer centers, but until then, he warns that individuals should be wary of the plans that they choose and always read the fine print before they make their final decision next month.
I mean, I think that's just good advice for life in general. Always read the fine
print. Always read the fine print. Know what you're paying, what you're getting for sure.
Absolutely. So that about does it for us this week. Be sure to stay tuned to curetoday.com for all of the latest in cancer news. Until next time, I've been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bennion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.